Blog Talk Radio.
Take a licking. There is someone waiting who will hurry up and rescue you. Just call for Super Chicken.
Welcome to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by ManaPro, providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. ManaPro, nurturing life. My name is Andy Schneider, but most know me as the Chicken Whisperer. My co-host is poultry advocate and author of City Chicks, Chicken Tractor, and other great titles, Pat Foreman. Today is Tuesday, May 17th, and I'd like to thank all of you for tuning in this afternoon on Blog Talk Radio. This is a live radio show that is broadcast around the world. This radio show is all about keeping backyard poultry, show poultry, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. You can follow the Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer radio show 24 hours a day at our website, chickenwhisperer.com. That's chickenwhisperer.com. From there, you can follow us on Twitter, become a fan on Facebook, visit our blog, sign up for our monthly e-newsletter, The Chicken Scratch, and get all kinds of great Chicken Whisperer gear. If you're listening live today on Blog Talk Radio, I invite you to join us in the live chicken chat room that's going on right now. Everybody loves the Chicken Chat Room. You can talk with other Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer fans and other chicken owners from around the country. You can also ask any questions you may have for our special guest when we have them on, like today. All you have to do is click on the Chat Now button at our homepage there at Blog Talk Radio. I understand that the new Blog Talk Radio that they've updated, the chat room automatically opens up. Just scroll down and you'll probably see it there. You want to register so you can get your own unique, fun, and creative screen name. Then you can come on in, sit a spell, have a great time, meet some new friends, and talk all about our passion of backyard poultry, show poultry, sustainable living, urban farming, urban gardening, and just about anything else that might tickle your fancy, including preparedness. I would also like to invite you to mark this radio show as a favorite and request to be on our friends list while you're there at Blog Talk Radio. We hope you'll take a moment to do this today. And again, I want to thank you all for tuning in to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by ManaPro. ManaPro is committed to providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. No matter the animal, no matter the product, you can be certain that ManaPro cares as much about the well-being of your flock as you do. So try one of the many poultry products offered at a retailer near you. ManaPro, nurturing life. Today's secret password for the prize is scratch. Today's secret password for today's prize is scratch for you early birds.
Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at mounthealthy.com, that's mthealthy.com, or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks.
Critter-Cages.com is your one-stop shop for all your critters' housing needs. They stock a wide selection of supplies and equipment for rabbits, guinea pigs, hamsters, mice, rats, ferrets, chinchillas, chickens, and other small critters. Their chicken selection includes chicken barns, chicken coops, and chicken yards from top manufacturers. Your critters will love their selection of quality products, and you'll love their low prices. Visit them online at critter-cages.com. That's critter-cages.com. When you need an incubator, think Brensea, the incubation specialist. Brensea has been a world-leading manufacturer of incubators for over 30 years. Incubators from 7 to 380 eggs with high-quality electronic and digital controls, including precise humidity control and programmable egg turning, all at surprisingly affordable prices. Visit them online at Brensea.com. Brensea spelled B-R-I-N-S-E-A. That's Brensea.com or call 1-888-667-7009. Enter the coupon code WHISPER at checkout and save 10% on their incubators, brooders, egg candlers, and other incubation accessories. When you need an incubator, think Brensea. Technology you can trust.
Pictures of chickens on aprons are common across America, but picture a chicken wearing an apron and you'll probably get a good chuckle. Laugh if you must, but nothing protects hens better than the Hen Saver Hen Apron. Hen Saver Hen Aprons protect your hens from the damage caused by an overly affectionate rooster and may even provide protection from an unexpected hawk attack. Hen Savers come in several different sizes to fit both bantam and standard-sized hens and roosters. Colors include camo, denim, navy, brown, khaki or black, and soon pink. Crazy K Farm is expanding its already colorful Hen Saver collection to include the color pink. A portion of their sales will be donated to organizations that fund breast cancer research and awareness. Order your Hen Saver aprons today at hensaver.com. That's hensaver.com.
Oh, yeah!
And the mighty bird against prejudice continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
All righty. Thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. We do have a great show lined up for you today, but before we go on, we've got a little switchboard problem here I need to work out. Otherwise, there won't be a show, meaning Pat is trying to call in. She gets a busy signal. When we welcome Andrew Odom with tinyrevolution.us to call in here in about 20 minutes, he may get a busy signal. Christine, Love for Poultry, is trying to call in and listen. She gets a busy signal. So you're going to hear some dead air. Don't go anywhere. The show must go on. I'm going to try to reboot the system and see if we can't. I don't know. Maybe there's a glitch somewhere. But stay with us. It could be up to 5 minutes of dead air time. I'll try to make it as short as possible. It may be as few as 2 to 3 minutes of dead air. But I want to let you know, just hang in there. Enjoy the chat room. Talk amongst yourselves, as they used to say on Saturday Night Live. But I'm going to try to reboot the system. And then if that doesn't work, I'm going to try to call out. We have a new feature we can call out now. So I may try that feature as well when we come back if that's not working. Because I know you just want to sit there and listen to me yap all the show. So give me a couple of minutes. I'm going to try to reboot the system to see if we can't get the switchboard to engage to allow people to call in. And we'll be back. So there will be some dead air time. If people join late in the chat room, if you'll just let them know what's going on, I would appreciate that. And we'll be back on air as soon as we possibly can. Thank you so much for your patience and understanding. All righty. Thank you very much for your patience. We've rebooted the system, and we actually had a pop-up from Blog Talk Radio that states they are having a technical difficulty with their switchboard, their main switchboard in New York, with their where their phone calls come through, where that affects all of us. So I want to go ahead and try to see if Love for Poultry, if you can call in now and let me know in the chat room if you get a busy signal. If so, then I can call out. It says that I can try to call out. So I will call Pat, and then I'll get Andrew to send me or text me his his phone number, and I can call out for him about half past the hour when he comes on. So Love for Poultry, go ahead and try to call the call-in number and let me know if you still get a busy signal. Then I will just call out to Pat and to Andrew so we can get on with the show. So how about that? Don't you love a high-tech world? I mean, I'm telling you what, there's some benefits to it, and then there's some downfalls to it. So we just have to, and we're on a about a 25-second delay, so we're waiting for Love for Poultry to try the call-in number to see if she gets through. I can get over here to the switchboard and see if anybody is getting through, and so far it does not look like anybody is getting through. If she's trying to call, you just get a busy signal. So we'll wait to hear back from Love for Poultry to see okay, I got an instant message from Andrew with his number, so give me just a second here. And I don't see Love. Maybe Love for Poultry can't hear at all to know what we're doing, so we'll have to. Okay, not a problem. We'll just do this. Let me first call Pat, and I don't dial out a lot from the switchboard, so give me a chance to work out these this technical problem here, and we'll see if we can't get Pat on here real quick. Dialing her number as we speak. And we're going to see what happens. A ring-a-ding-ding, ring-a-ding-ding.
Hi, this is Pat. Please leave your name and number, and I'll call you back just as soon as I can. Talk with you soon. Bye.
Okay.
At the tone, please record your message.
We're going to try this again. She said she's on the road, and she did say that she had service. So hopefully she said she had a great signal. We're going to try this again.
Whisper.
Hey, you're live on the air, Pat. Don't say any bad words.
Okay, great. Well, I don't know why I'd call in. It was busy the whole time. I figured there were just so many people calling in that we jammed the lines.
It might have been. You know, no, hey. They're having some technical problems. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, well, thanks for calling me. I'm glad you did. I'm just pulled over. I've got a really good signal. I'm just headed back from North Carolina to Virginia, so I'm just going to take a respite here and chat on the air for a little bit.
Oh, that sounds like a plan. That sounds like a plan.
Yeah.
And okay.
How
now,
are you
now,
doing today?
I am doing fabulous. And about let's let Andrew know in the chat room. He's our guest today. At about right during the commercial break at during the commercial break at 12:30, half past the hour Eastern, I will give you a call, and then we'll bring you live on the air as well, Andrew, so we can there's always a way around anything and everything. There's always a backup. Y'all know when we get on the road and head out there and do this radio show all across the country, we do have two or three backups that we can do. And each time we go to another backup, it gets more inconvenient for us, but it's still... You got to get the show on the road. Got to get if it works exactly, not a problem. So, yep, Andrew's in the chat room. He is there and he is ready. We'll bring him on after the half hour break. But doing well. Now, I tell you what. It's been a really interesting couple of days. many people around the country. Some are familiar, some are not familiar. I would say on a scale of zero being not familiar and 100% being all about it, know everything about it, and this gentleman, I was probably at around 50%. I had heard of his organization. I had heard of him. But that was I wasn't a I'd say a huge follower or fan because it just wasn't something in my everyday activities. And of course that's changing a little bit. But many of you have heard of We Are Change, wearechange.org, and We Are Change. And there's probably 210 chapters of We Are Change. There's like We Are Change Georgia, We Are Change Alabama, We Are Change Florida, We Are Change Miami, whatever. And so they're really all over the world. And I'll probably butcher his name, but the founder of We Are Change, Luke Rutkowski, is in Atlanta. He's here, and they're doing an event on Friday night and on Saturday. Give me just a second here. There we go. And so he's staying pretty much in the neighborhood. So a good friend of mine said, hey, you want to come over for dinner tonight? This was yesterday. And I said, sure, no problem. And so she was telling Luke all about the chicken movement around the country and around the world and everything that I did to try to help that movement and fight City Hall and whatnot. And so he was interested in doing a story on it. And he does a lot of independent stories for a lot of news agencies around the world. And he's doing one now for RT, which I think is based in Russia, I believe, but it's RT. And so, so he's here and he wanted to do a story about this Chicken Underground movement. And so, we went over and we broke bread together. Our good friend Martha made us some really nice homemade organic vegetable pizzas. And then we sat and we talked about what's going on in the world and the upcoming collapse of the dollar. And I mean, you name it. It was a subject that was on the table. Very interesting. And then this morning we woke up and we met at a undisclosed location. And I'm going to post pictures here in a minute.
Underground, are you?
Underground, yes, very much so. He's worked his story out. I had to leave just a little bit early, but we got everything that he wanted to get with me, and it's going to be great. Well, he's hoping to have it edited and everything by tonight, so I'll post it on our Facebook page and Twitter and everywhere else. But it was really neat how he kind of set it up. We did kind of the, you know, when you're unidentified and undercover and underground and under the radar, they do the silhouette where you can see the outline of the person, but you can't really see their face. And so we had fun with that. And so he's like, you're just going to have to wait to see it. It's got some fun attributes to it, but yet it really kind of gets the point across about how stupid it is for towns to ban backyard poultry. And one comment I made, I don't know what's going to make the cut and what's not going to make the cut, because I gave him a lot of information. He said, just give me lots of information. We had some interaction, you know, as an interview with the microphone and whatnot, but and again, I don't know if it's going to make the cut, but I was saying, you know, because we were in the profile incognito shadow talking about it. It was so fun doing this. And I said, you know, I have talked with the chickens. I've talked with the chickens, and they tell me they just don't understand why they're being persecuted. They don't understand it. All they're trying to do is to give us good, healthy food, the perfect food, which is the egg. And yet towns across America have banned backyard chickens. And you know what? The chickens don't understand. They just they're hurt. Their feelings are hurt. They just don't understand why they're being persecuted like they are. So so it was that was a little snippet that was in there. We talked about the having to get neighbors' permission, which is that outlandish, unconstitutional law that they put in there, and things like that. So yeah, it was it was fun, and they're probably still doing some filming over there at the undisclosed location. In fact, we were in the backyard of someone who's in the Chicken Underground, and I'm going to try to post pictures during the show on my Facebook page so you can see it, and maybe Love for Poultry can post a link once I post it on our Facebook page. But you need to become a fan on Facebook, because we talk about so much stuff. We got chickens in the news there, everything, and let me tell you, If you don't like what you see posted today, hang around because you'll probably like what you see posted tomorrow. If you like what you see posted today, then you'll probably see something tomorrow that'll tick you off and that you won't agree with. So that's just the way it works. And so because we try to cover a lot of things from backyard poultry to show poultry, sustainable living, urban farming, urban gardening, government issues, lack of property rights, you name it. I mean, we try to cover it. We do not discriminate against anybody's against anybody. And we were talking about the other day, and we were like, I don't discriminate against anybody. I hate everybody. So it was a funny conversation, and that came up when we were talking about things that people cover and things like that. So it was pretty interesting. So if you don't like what you see today, hang around. You may like what you see tomorrow. If you like what you see today, don't be surprised if you see a story posted that really ruffles your feathers. So stick around, because we cover an awful lot about a lot of stuff and that appeals to a lot of people, and that may be why we are approaching 11,000 fans on Facebook and 3,000 on Twitter and thousands of listeners of the show, because we cover a lot of different stuff, not just chickens. So yeah, that was fun, and currently I'm working on 3 or 4 pictures I got to get posted that you'll get a kick out of, and so I'll try to get that done while we maybe during the commercial break or when we're talking to Andrew. So the last couple of days, that's what I've been doing. It's been great. Working on the radio show a little bit and everything else that's going on. But you're on the road. You're coming back from North Carolina, where you were with the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy, I believe. Is that correct, Pat?
Yes, that's absolutely right. And they've got some really interesting projects coming up that they've got funding for. And I might be doing some technical work for them, some program or technical work, which is, of course, the kind of work I love to do. I love projects. I just absolutely like to do training, and I like to do projects, and it's they're a small staff, but they have a unique position because of what they do to preserve heritage stocks. The only other organization in the country that really does conservation work is the Society for the Protection of Poultry Antiquities, the SPPA that Christine Heinrichs comes in on, and I'm not sure if they do censuses or not. But they're specifically on poultry, and of course, keeping some of the breeds alive. But the ALBC is kind of uniquely positioned for all the breeds. So, and they're just a wonderful group. I just love the entire staff there, and they're so dedicated. So, anyway, it's not that far for me to go down. I stayed with a dear friend in Greensboro. We had so much fun. Oh my God, we laughed so much. We were even going to go bowling this morning, but the bowling lane was closed. But anyway, so yeah, I'm just headed back now. I've got a 3 o'clock meeting, so I got to get back to Lexington relatively fast. I'm not in a super rush, but I can't really dawdle either. So that's where I'm at. Yeah.
Well, very good. We thank you for joining us, and thank you for joining us. We're glad that you could pull over and hang out just a little bit. And let me get over here to our Facebook page and see if the pictures have been posted. And so, Love for Poultry, if you want to, if you would for me, go to our Chicken Whisperer page and post the link in the chat room, and then that's the latest thing that had been posted, or some really entertaining pictures of. Well, hang on a second. What happened here? Oh, I see. Okay, just a second. But they're posted there. And it's funny because this unidentified underground, under-the-radar chicken keeper wore a black ski mask to conceal his identity. So it was quite funny that, yes, when I come out here to collect the eggs, I have to wear this disguise so my neighbors don't recognize me.
That might be a marketable item, like a ski mask with a bill on it or a beak and a comb and wattles. I can see it. I can see it very clearly for the underground chicken keepers. They're in disguise masks. Oh, gosh, isn't that ridiculous? I mean, the lengths we have to go to just to be able to have our own food and recycle biomass to boot.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So the pictures were funny. We had a good time. So they're basically covering the whole movement and the insanity of property rights and these towns. Oh no, they're having to ban these vicious, harmful chickens that create so much problems. So yeah, it's pretty interesting. So that at least, you know, they'll get coverage, and they have a different audience than we might have, but their stuff goes viral very quickly, and it does get worldwide coverage. So while you may not agree with everything, or the next person may not agree with a lot of the stories that they cover or a lot of the beliefs they have, the bottom line is they are doing this to kind of, again, spread the news about more government control of and loss of freedoms with keeping backyard poultry. So you may not agree with what's in this hand, but you might agree with what's in this hand. So that's why we decided to do this, because, again, they've got a worldwide audience, and we're again, spreading the chicken love. Power to the poultry, as you say here.
Power to the poultry. Well, please give City Chicks a plug, because that really tells you how to employ chickens, not just keep them for eggs and meat, but how to really put them into service for yourself, your community, and, of course, the world. So any plug you can give it, we really appreciate it, and I certainly appreciate it. Thank you in advance.
All those chicken skill sets. So, yeah, somebody had just put in there, Nikki had put on our Facebook page, "What in the world?" And then just laughing. But we are Change founder Luke Rudkowski and an unidentified backyard chicken keeper. he's got his mask on. And Luke's going, yes, we were covering these terrorist chicken keepers, and we had to track down the leader of the group. He goes by the name Chicken Whisperer.
I'm 007.
Yeah, exactly.
Whisperer 007.
So, I love
That's
it.
That's great.
So it should be fun. I don't know if you would call it a satire, or I'm not into all those code names. So anyway, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to call it, being from the South. It should be a pretty doggone funny little video, but it's going to get the point across of how stupid it is for towns not to allow chickens. Okay? Now, you can call it what you want, a parody, a satire, whatever. I don't know what all those mean, but it's going to be a darn tootin', I think, funny video that should go viral and worldwide about the ridiculousness of not allowing people to keep a few backyard hens to provide for their family the perfect food, which is the egg.
Absolutely.
So,
absolutely. Yes. Well, not only that, Whisper, of course, it's costing the taxpayer money because of all the biomass that chickens could be helping them keep out of the landfills and stay in backyards instead. So it's more than the stakes are so high, and it's so powerful because it's so simple. The ideas are just so simple, and they're so right. So we can stand up proudly and take our chicken masks off.
Yes, exactly. It's going to be. I can't wait to see it. Hopefully, it'll be good, and people understand it, and they'll be like, "Yeah, this is pretty dumb." It's kind of like when we go and talk with city councils around the country, and we talk to them, and we sometimes have to dumb down our statements to make the situation just sound so dumb. You know, what happens when a chicken dies? What do you do with it? The same thing you did with that rotisserie chicken you didn't finish for dinner last night. What did you do with that chicken carcass, sir? You know, some people compost it.
Or the turkey carcass or whatever
it is. Yeah, turkey. I mean, holy cow, how many turkey carcasses are put in the municipal garbage every year the day after Thanksgiving? So, some people bury it, some people compost it. I've heard of people giving it to their dogs to eat, to just putting it in the municipal garbage can. And oh my God. And so you try to, sometimes you have to dumb down to make it sound so utterly ridiculous of what they're doing and what they're talking about.
Yeah, well, about all the they're worried about chicken poop. Tell them about the diapers.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, that's my favorite one, when that lady came up to me and said, "Well, what do you do with all the chicken poop?" And I said, "Well, a lot of people will put it in their compost bin. They'll put it in the compost pile. They'll put it in their yards, in their gardens. Some people may have a very sandy run and coop bed, and then they'll just go out daily or every other day, and just like you would a dog or cat poo, and scoop it up, and then put it in the garbage." And she gasped, and her eyes got big, and she said, "You're putting chicken coop in the municipal garbage?" And I looked at her. Yeah, don't you love it, Pat? And I looked at her, and I said, "Ma'am, What did you do with your daughter's human poop the first 3 years she was in diapers? And I gave her the same treatment. I opened my mouth wide. I gasped. My eyes got big. And I said, and I pointed at her and I said, "You put human poop in the municipal garbage? Oh, my." And then she realized that she was, you know, she wasn't going to win. And she just shook her head in disgust and walked away because she had realized her ridiculous, you know, statement of trying to keep chickens out of her neighborhood. So, yeah, I mean, we've heard them all. We have a good factual statement to rebuttal all of these. So it is quite funny when they try to get you on, you know, they come up with something that's totally moot, a totally moot point that you can totally destroy by a comment or factual information, which is always good to have factual information. Yeah. So we plan to use cloth diapers unless we're on the road. When we're on the road traveling, of course, we'll have to use the disposable. We found some organic disposable diapers, actually. I don't know if they biodegrade any better than the regular ones, but, and it was funny, Jen has a baby, I guess it's called a baby fairy at school, and so every day she goes into school and there's a different gift on her desk when she gets there, and she came home and said, the baby fairy came today and left her some diapers, and the diapers are designed, I guess whether it's a print pattern on there or whatever, they look like blue jeans. So it's diapers, and they're just not the white diapers. They're diapers that look like blue jeans. They have two pockets on the rear end, and they got the little stitching on them, or what looks like to be stitching. Yeah, it's hilarious.
You gotta put in those diaper pockets.
It's just picture a pocket. So it's just like someone took a picture of blue jeans and then printed it on this diaper. So it looks like blue jeans. It was quite funny. Some of the things people are finding for her. So she has the baby fairy visit her desk every day. So, and she's got a shower tomorrow after school. We had a shower on Sunday, which was fabulous. Lots of great friends and that just came out. Lots of folks, and we got tons of stuff for Caleb. So we had a great time, and then she's got a shower this weekend down at the farm at our church down there. So she's having a lot of fun this week with me and Prego, and I think we're about 5 weeks away, and then little CW will be here.
She must be on pins and needles.
I think probably the week of the due date will be like, uh-oh, you know, because she's not sure. First baby, is that a pain? Is this a pain? What should I do? And all this kind of stuff. But anyway, so we'll see. And, of course, you never know. We may be broadcasting live from North Fulton Hospital in Alpharetta, Georgia, in room 309 in the maternity ward today.
How cool would that be?
That'd be so funny.
That's right. It really could happen any time. I mean, you're within the zone.
Exactly.
Pardon
me, folks.
We
got to go to a quick commercial because I have to go over here and help push. So we'll be back right after this break.
Breathe.
Yeah, breathe. Push.
Oh, poor Jen.
Oh, my goodness gracious. So, yeah, bless her heart. So you never know what'll happen with her, and she'll be like, get off the air and get over here and help me.
I mean, there are priorities in life.
Yes, that is true.
Well, I better learn how to run those controls here sometime soon just to be able to
give you. Never know. You know what? I'm going to dial out, right? Well, we're going to go to commercial break, and then when we come back, I will dial out, and we'll get Andrew Odom on the line. We're about 6 minutes behind right now on the program because of our little technical glitch we have where people trying to call in, they get a busy signal. So we're going to go to commercial break. When we come back, we're going to bring on Andrew Odom with TinyRevolution.us, TinyRevolution.us. Andrew and his wife live a minimalist lifestyle. And a lot has gone on in the last 30 days since he was here last. So he's got a lot to share with us. He does have a lot to share with us, and I'm really looking forward to hearing the good and the bad and the ugly with living a minimalist lifestyle. So, folks, we'll be back right after this short commercial break with Andrew Odom and TinyRevolution.us. Stay with us.
Ware Manufacturing has been building quality hutches since 1983. Ware manufactures modern chicken hutches, barns, pens, and nest boxes designed especially for the backyard flock. Ware offers hutches and pens for every yard size and every chicken keeper's budget. Visit their website at waremfginc.com. That's waremfginc.com. Or call them to find a retailer near you at 1-888-824-7257. Ware Manufacturing. Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry, from rare white and brown egg layers to broilers, ducks, turkeys, and bantams. Ideal Poultry is the largest supplier of backyard poultry in the United States, shipping close to 5 million chicks annually. Visit them online at idealpoultry.com. That's idealpoultry.com.
Hey ladies, do you have a hard time finding the perfect gift for that animal lover on your list? I did, but not anymore. I shop at HobbyHillFarm.com. They have a great selection of dog, cat, horse, and chicken gifts that are not only cute, but affordable too. Check them out at HobbyHillFarm.com and become a Facebook fan at Facebook.com/HobbyHillFarm to receive updates on new products and special discounts. I just know you're going to love HobbyHillFarm.com. I do. Established in 1957, GQF has become the name to trust when it comes to quality products and superior customer service. GQF offers a wide range of poultry products, including incubators, brooders, feeders, waters, and much, much more. Give them a call at 912-236-0651 or visit them online at GQFradio.com. That's GQFradio.com.
Looking for something? Find it online at Bidbird Auctions. Bidbird.com is an online auction service that caters specifically to the poultry, waterfowl, game bird, and pigeon hobbyists. With so many rare and exciting species listed daily and in a wide variety of categories, you'll want to visit often. Join hundreds of the nation's top breeders that have made Bidbird Auctions their new home. And get sold on Bidbird.
You have the chickens, the coop, and the run, but do you have the egg cartons? Don't put your beautiful farm fresh eggs in any old used grocery store egg carton. Impress your friends with your very own custom labeled egg cartons from eggcartons.com. They have a large selection of custom egg cartons, stamps, and labels to choose from. Pick out your new custom egg cartons at eggcartons.com. That's eggcartons.com.
Hi, I'm country music artist Nathan Osmond, and you're listening to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer.
Actually, in reality, I am Super Chicken.
Alrighty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. Let me get over here back in the chat room here. It disappeared on me for a second. Get that back opened up, and then I'm going to go over here to the switchboard. And I'm going to give our good friend, Andrew Odom, a call. So give me just one second. As I punch the numbers in here.
It's working.
Amazing.
Amazing. What a world we live in. It really is amazing.
Hello.
Hey, it works.
Hey, Andrew.
Hello. You caught me just taking a taste of something.
Oh. Well, it is lunchtime.
I guess that's better than catching you in the little boys' room, I guess.
Probably so.
Very cool. Well, it's been about 30 days since we last had you on, and I know we've talked off the air a couple of times, and things have been going on pretty crazy.
And interesting. So let's get right down to it. What's been going on in Andrew's world of the minimalist lifestyle with tinyrevolution.us?
Oh, gosh, so much. I've been in the chat room since we opened up, just watching the conversations. Also interesting, it's like we all get together and just immediately want to share our news about what's hatched and what's incubating and all that stuff. There's some real serious chicken folk out there, especially the picture of the guy with the wrestling mask on. That was interesting. I appreciated that.
Yeah, that's we filmed that this morning, actually. That was some pictures I took to share. That video should be out sometime this evening when it's edited, and we are changed. They're in town, and they're doing they wanted to cover this the Chicken Underground, if you will, about the movement and how many towns do not allow it and why they don't allow it and how ridiculous that is, and property rights and constitutional rights and all of that, and how many thousands of people across the country have to keep chickens under the radar to feed their family nutritious food. So he thought it would be neat to over dramatize it a little bit with the mask and you'll see in the interview.
Yeah, for sure.
You'll see in the interview where you can see my silhouette, but you can't really see my face when they're interviewing me. It's just it's fun. And it'll show again, kind of like you have to dumb it down and show how ridiculous it really is. And where my buddy's saying, I have to put on my mask.
It's a good time for y'all to put that out there in the public eye now that, America's Most Wanted just got canceled after 23 years. Now he's got a niche spot opening up on the television.
Hey, there you go. Sounds like a plan.
Yeah, I think y'all would be fantastic. I mean, it's like a reality show almost. It's like Chicken Whisperers of America or something. Backyard Chicken Guy. I don't know how ridiculous the name would have to be for people to watch it. Who knows?
Well, anyway,
hey, let's talk a little bit about what's going on here around the Tiny Revolution. I was kind of chatting with you yesterday on Facebook a bit. Man, it has just been absolutely slammed this past month, or since we last spoke. I did get that opportunity to do the guest hosting with you, and we talked for a minute about some things there. For the most part, it's just been really busy. The most recent thing that's come about is we had the electrician come this past weekend, and basically inspected what we had to see what we wanted to do. We talked about some options. I told him our long-term option. You know, we really just kind of kept the conversation under the radar because we are having an agricultural line put in because, you know, we have no idea how this thing would get zoned or taxed or anything like that. So we're really just going with an off-the-grid, off-the-cuff sort of deal. And just to explain to some of y'all out there what all it is, someone said, was it a tiny electrician? Actually, yes, he was hardly 5'5". I kid you not. So the tiny electrician came out to the Tiny Revolution. And unfortunately, the price estimate he gave us was not so tiny. But what we're going to do is we're going to run a poll from the closest transformer, which is actually only about 35 feet away from the property line. We're going to run a line to a pole, and the pole is going to have a 200-amp service breaker box, I believe. So that's going to work out really well. It's basically going to be built and set up like you would find in an RV park. So there will be a 220 electrical outlet as well as the breaker box, which we're going to go ahead and put about 8 breakers in. So the power will come from the pole into Tiny House via a plug. The plug will then go to the panel box inside Tiny House, which will distribute the power accordingly. And, this is all in preparation for what we're saying between 12 and 18 months will be a full-on transition to solar power. But, you know, we didn't want to just jump in the deep end of the pool. We kind of want to get our toes wet and that sort of thing. So we wanted to make the transition of us still having the capacity, the ability to be on the grid. So that was really just the other day
decision.
We're waiting for the. Go ahead.
Well, when it's so convenient to have the pole there and plug it in, and you've got a constant set of constant power compared to, with its cloudy days for days on end, it gets a little iffy sometimes. So,
absolutely. And that was one of the things we were concerned about was if we go 100% solar, were we going to be doing justice to what our plans were in terms of living? A lot of people get hung up in sustainability and their carbon footprint and stuff, and they say, hey, if I'm going to be sustainable, I really need to be off the grid. And I don't think that's necessarily true. I think in our type of lifestyle or how we choose to live, it's more or less about just being really conscious of your electrical load, doing things to save electricity, doing things to really cut down, not just because it does save fossil fuels and coal and that sort of thing, but it also decreases your budget. Part of minimalism is about decluttering your budget and letting go of that consumer debt and that consumer overhead. So as y'all can see, it's kind of a really big picture sort of project. You can tell why I'm so excited about it, because it really brings to fruition a lot of things that we've been talking about and planning, and it puts us a step further into the process. So we're waiting on the energy company to come out now, actually drop the line. They may have to top out a couple of trees, which, would be a minimal cost. And then we'll have the electrician come back out and hook it all up. He's going to build the box and the pole at his warehouse, farm, whatever, and then just bring it in and set it and wire it. We'll then have to have the city come in and inspect for our agriculture pole. And that'll be that. We'll have electricity. And what's really exciting about that is now our 56 chickens will have central heat and air. They'll have a large screen TV with digital satellite and DVR possibilities. So it's pretty cool.
Nice. That is mega cool. And it doesn't take much electricity to run your satellite.
Gosh, what chickens would not want to have all of that at their disposal?
Yeah, they can watch Animal Planet all day long.
All day long. Let me answer a question real quick. Terry, Nick, you want to know where I live? I live in North Carolina, eastern North Carolina. So I want to continue on. We've got the electricity cooking. The other real exciting news is my folks are coming to visit next weekend for about 5 days. And for anyone who has a dad still alive, that when folks come to visit, that means two things. It means probably a few free meals, and it also means free labor. So I'm really excited about them coming. It's going to be a good time. We've got my dad doesn't know it yet, but I've already got a pretty good list started of things I want to get accomplished while he's here. And I've already emailed to my mom requested menu items. So I think it's going to be a really nice visit.
What's on the menu items that you really like, Andrew?
Well, my mama makes homemade biscuits like nobody else. So I've got biscuits at least twice for breakfast. I've asked her to make some chicken and dumplings that we can freeze and be able to eat when we want. She also fries okra just the way I like it, so I've already cut the okra and breaded it, so all she has to do is fry it. It's a light fry, not a deep fat fry, a light fry. So those are a few things. I'm real particular about what I need. I've got needs.
Don't we all?
So that's an exciting part. And then moving on from there, of course, not to let Whisper outdo us, we have an appointment on Thursday morning. We're at 23 weeks now, and so we're excited to just probably hear a heartbeat and just get the kind of the thumbs up on, everything looks good, everything sounds good, that sort of thing. So
wow.
So that's exciting. I'm sure, Andy, you can back me up on this, as can any parent. You know, now's the time where the gifts start coming, where people start not being able to control their urge to purchase things for your child so that they can vicariously live, a second parenthood or something like that. And I do have to tell you, I know that babies spit up and babies eat messy and all that sort of stuff, but honestly, do we need a different bib for every day of the first year? Will
right.
we need 365 bibs? I don't think so.
Well, you never know. You might
uh-huh.
need two or three a day. You know, breakfast, lunch, dinner, and snacks.
What I find most funny about the bibs is that, and it's the same with onesies and things, everybody who buys something, they really want it to be personal. They want it to exclaim the relationship between the baby and them. So we've got a onesie that says something about, I love my mommy. We've got one that says something about daddy. We've got one that says something about grandma. One that says something about just the whole kit and caboodle. And I'm thinking, what about these people that don't have titles? Are they just going to get some airbrushed at the local boardwalk or something? Are we going to start getting all sorts of Jersey Shore merchandise? What's going to happen now?
Well, you
yeah,
can get them that says future golfer or future rocket scientist. They'll put their profession
yeah,
on there.
Yeah, I would like one that says future American citizen without credit card debt. And that's what we're shooting for.
Ooh, that's a biggie. I like that.
Nice.
Yeah. So that's exciting. And then we've also added a third coop, which for us is not that big of a deal because we've already got two and then we've got a pen as well. But the third coop is what I'm calling the separator coop, and I'll tell you why. I usually put flocks together, no more than 20 birds, no less than 15 birds, because we process them out. And anyone who processes their own birds knows that if you're going to do it, you might as well make it worth your while. One or two meals of chicken is not really worth the time and investment of having the chickens, unless you just want to taste. But, so we do about 15 or 20 per batch, or per flock, so to speak. But I built this small separator coop and pen so that from each one I can start pulling three or four birds that I can turn into layers. Because right now, in the auction circuit around here, people are getting $8 and $9 for a young layer, sometimes as much as $10 or $11. And we're talking about a dollar to purchase them initially and, the little bit of feed that they eat during the course of those months. It's not bad. It's not a bad investment. So I built this separator coop, if you will, where I'll separate out three or four birds from each flock. And, try and make a little extra money on the side, which we're already doing with our eggs. Selling our eggs is going great. For those of you who are interested in selling your eggs, we do follow certain standards. We're not government authorized to sell eggs, but we do follow standards so that things are hygienically correct, and that we do stick with our organic ideals, that sort of thing. But we sell primarily on Facebook and on Craigslist. We've built quite a little following just through those free platforms. So, that's pretty exciting. The new coop. Oh, the cool thing about the coop, Andy, if I can tell you, is totally recycled coop. Built it all out of wooden pallets and scrap wood. I even recycled the nails that were in the pallet to put it together. So I was really pleased with that. There was zero cost involved whatsoever. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's dedication to recycle the nails. That's true dedication.
Really?
It is. It reminds me of when I was a child and I used to take Matchbox cars out to the driveway and beat them with a hammer. I just took these nails out to a cement block and beat them straight again, and they already used them. Easy. So, and then probably the last thing is, for anyone who follows me on Facebook, you've seen my pictures. Our garden we've already started harvesting. In fact, I just finished, I just finished about 9 quarts of early peas, blanching those and getting those ready to be frozen. We've already pulled a lot of spinach. We started pulling lettuce. We've pulled some cabbage already. We've scratched out some early potatoes. It's just been good. The weather has been good, except for the tornadoes we had a few weeks ago. The weather's been good. The crops have been good. Everything's just, it's going really well. If I could, if I could just get building more on the actual tiny house, I think we'd be in a good place. But as we've spoken before, you really just have to be in the correct mindset, and you have to be in a certain place in your life before making that sort of adjustment. And we've still got a little bit of time. However, I did decide that the second and third week of August, I will be building the whole exterior of Tiny House. So by the time we talk in September, the exterior of Tiny House will be done, and it will be on the land here in North Carolina.
Wow, excellent. You know, Andrew, it's so wonderful to hear you upbeat, because last time we had you on the show when you were talking about the storms and responsibilities, and this is the right decision. So you've really come around to believing in what you're doing, and you're going to continue on, sounds like.
Yeah,
so congratulations.
You know, the thing about it is you've got two choices in life. I mean, you can either suck on a lemon and make a bitter face all the time, or you can make lemonade and even sell it. And so I just chose to make lemonade, drink a little, sell a little, give some for free. It's just, it's been a really inspiring month. And I've been blessed to have a couple of people that I know both online and in real life just kind of speak into our life and just give us words of encouragement at all the right times. So, it works out really well. It just has really come around. I'm looking here at the board, and Woodcutter Ron says, if I pitch a pup tent in my John boat, is that a tiny house boat? Hey, if you want to call it that and you feel like writing a blog about it, I'm sure there's one or two people out there that will read it. So you go for it.
Yeah, really, really. It's amazing
you
what blogging
you never
is
know.
Doing to bring communities together. Yeah.
In terms of tiny revolution, just minimalism and that sort of thing, I will tell you that has been a challenge, and Andy, you'll understand this, especially right now in life, is that really trying to communicate with folks about sending baby gifts and giving extraneous things and all that, it's been a bit of a challenge, but we have kind of released the death grip a little bit, if you will. We've kind of given people some liberty, because we don't want to steal that away from them. We want them to be able to enjoy the time as much as us. And we figure, look, if we get a lot of stuff, if we have an overabundance of stuff, then we will just we'll find a way to donate it to some other families in need or to some other folks that
mm-hmm.
could use it. It will all work out in the long run.
Yeah.
Most
folks
just want to buy something anyway.
Yeah, most people that have been invited to the shower and that are getting her things, know us pretty well and know our lifestyle pretty well. I think the last invitation went out. I think something that was included in the invitation was farm-themed products, all-natural/organic products, things like that. But most people already know us and know our lifestyle, so that wasn't an issue. In fact, me and Jen were talking ahead of time, we do have limited space in our little farmhouse, so it's like, if we get, 15 different yard toys, then, some are going to go back. They do come with gift receipts, so we can exchange things that we may need or didn't get. But this first shower, we got very, very limited repeat things. I mean, we maybe got 3 outfits that were the same. Everything else was different, and it sounds rude, we're going to take this back, but we didn't get anything at this first shower that we would have to take back, which was very encouraging to us.
Wow.
We were very proud of that, yeah, so which was great. And so, and maybe only 3 repeat outfits because, everybody was trying to get outfits with chickens on them and things. And we got 3 different variations of bibs, like one would say, I'm a chick magnet. And, one would say, things like that. So that was fun. But, we were very encouraged that we felt people were were thinking when they were buying things. Okay, what kind of lifestyle do they have? The you know, it's farm themed and it's all natural / organic and whatnot. So we were thrilled about that. Yeah, Chicks Dig Me. Thanks, Love Her Poultry was going through the items as Jen was writing thank you notes. And yeah, so Chicks Dig Me with the little picture of a chick on it, and Chick Magnet, and some others that were quite funny for little Caleb. So that's going to be that was fun. But yeah. Yeah, so we were encouraged with that. We really were. Because we would have felt bad taking things back. We just would have. But they were very conscious, I think, about what they bought, so we were proud of that. So, but you're right.
Yeah. Hey, look, Terry Nick says, OMG, is it proper to tell people what to purchase for you and your baby? I think so, absolutely. I mean, you know, the thing about it is, number one, I don't think any expected parent expects a gift at all. We want you to be part of our children's lives, not just buy them stuff. But if you are going to make a monetary investment, then, you know, we may have some lifestyle things that we want you to try to adhere to. And, you know, that could be as simple as, look, we want organic cotton instead of this, so we'd like for you to try and stick to that. Or it could be, you know, we're not going to let our kids watch The Simpsons, so please don't get anything Bart Simpson. Or we're not going to let them have sugar cereal, so please don't buy them a bowl with Tony the Tiger on it or something like that.
Right, right.
Now, Terry Nick is saying 30 years ago we accepted the gift, said thank you, and returned or exchanged the gift. I would think, honestly, if the person is really that close to you and you're so close enough that you're inviting them to be part of your child's life even before the child is born, then it's perfectly acceptable to just kind of suggest. And you know, that's how registries came about. And
mm-hmm. Yeah.
I personally would rather someone say, hey, this is something we really could use or really would like, as opposed to you give them a gift and they just go, oh, thank you so much. And then as soon as I turn my back, they're, you know, at the store returning it so they can get, you know, whatever it is, I don't know, something that yeah, means nothing, because I don't even know what it is at that point.
We got a stroller, and they actually wrapped it. It was one of the very convenient. In fact, two people on either side of me said it was a smaller stroller that folds up about the size, really like an umbrella. And they were like, you are going to love that, because it's so easy to just, with one hand, throw in the back seat, pull it out, open it up with one hand, put your baby in it, and get what you need done, versus these huge monstrosity strollers with mud grip tires, all these cup holders, a DVD holder, and all this other stuff on it. This thing that just folds up like one of those foldable beach chairs that everybody has, that you just, you know, fold it up, and it's great. And it was quite long, you know, when it folds up, and they wrapped it, and umbrella stroller. So you go, look for poultry. I don't know all the high tech names for it, so it's called an umbrella stroller. But they wrapped it up. And so it was quite long as far as the gift's concerned, and I picked it up, and I was holding it for Jen, who was next to me, to open it. And when it was her time for me to hand that gift to her, I said, aha, it's Caleb's first shotgun. This is great. He's getting his first little 410 shotgun. This is great. And then we, of course, open it up, and it's a umbrella stroller. So, which we knew, but it was funny. It's like, this must be his first shotgun. How cool is that?
Yeah. Well, you know, we're actually not going to get a stroller, for the simple fact that we've been playing very hard. She'll just come out walking. That way we can avoid the stroller altogether.
Oh, right. Excuse me. That was funny. Good luck with that.
Well, you know, to keep with the chicken theme, I have to laugh and tell you. Now, this kind of tells you where I live, where I'm from. My mother-in-law, bless her heart, and I talk about her on the show all the time. If she ever listens, I'm in trouble. But bless her heart, she asked me about a kitty pen. And I thought she was talking about cats. I said, what do you mean a kitty pen? She said, well, when we were out in the fields, because I think I said once, Crystal grew up in tobacco fields, in tobacco farming. When we were out in the fields, we would just use some livestock wire and make a little fence, and we put the young kids in it so they couldn't, you know, get in trouble. They would stay in our sight. And she said, have you ever thought about one of those for when y'all are outside working and stuff? I said, why? I got two chicken coops out there. I'll just put it in there with them.
There you go, kid coops.
Yeah, we got chicken coops.
I mean, my gosh, she might as well learn early. We might as well just put her in the chicken coop as soon as she gets out, you know, so that she can learn how to handle them, because that will, we're not having a kid for nothing. Come on now. That's going to be one of our chores.
you can have a baby tractor, you know, where
absolutely.
I've started saying a lot of times they're like, yeah, the farm hand will be here in about 5 weeks.
Yep, I hear you. So let me see, anybody on the boards, does anybody have any questions that they want to ask about Tiny Revolution? Because I know some folks, they ask, and I don't see them as they come up, but I would love to answer any questions that anyone has. Some of the topics I've blogged about in the past month, if anybody wants to go back and look those up. Yesterday I did a pretty neat post on Farmer's Almanac about tracing the kind of the architectural history of tiny houses, and I talked about the shotgun houses of the South and how they kind of took prominence in the Reconstruction period all the way up to kind of our own American Industrial Revolution, if you will, 30s, 40s, that sort of thing. I also posted this month about how to lower your blood pressure without going on meds. I know a lot of people deal with health issues. I've had a little bit of high blood pressure the past few months, so I'm controlling that without being on medication. We've talked about some different heating and air options now that it's getting hot. We've really been focusing on air conditioning for the tiny house. What's energy efficient, what's not, how you install it, what's the benefit of a window unit versus a floor unit versus an electrical unit, that sort of thing. We talked about putting in some, we talked about installing a short water well, which basically is just a ground tap well. We've also talked about more clearing the land. You might remember I had a bit of frustration because a neighbor came over a couple weeks ago and gave me the wherefore art thou about making his wife sick with all the smoke from our burning and that sort of stuff. And so that was interesting. So we talked about that a little bit. There's just been some good relevant posts. I'll answer any questions anybody has.
Cool. We're going to go to a commercial break here, and we're going to try to do the chicken trivia a little bit later, but with our messed up switchboard that they're dealing with right now at Blog Talk Radio in New York, we may or may not be able to have a chicken trivia contest with call-ins today, but we will try that. But right now, we're going to take a short commercial break, and if you want to start posting some questions for Andrew Odom with tinyrevolution.us, there's one already been posted. What are you going to do with the little baby in your tiny house, which is about 12 by 30, I believe. But when we come back after the break, we'll answer, and Andrew will take your questions about living a minimalist lifestyle. We'll be back right after this short break.
When you need an incubator, think Brensea, the incubation specialist. Brensea has been a world-leading manufacturer of incubators for over 30 years. Incubators from 7 to 380 eggs with high-quality electronic and digital controls, including precise humidity control and programmable egg turning, all at surprisingly affordable prices. Visit them online at Brensea.com. Brensea spelled B-R-I-N-S-E-A. That's Brensea.com or call 1-888-667-7009. Enter the coupon code WHISPER at checkout and save 10% on their incubators, brooders, egg handlers, and other incubation accessories. When you need an incubator, think Brensea. Technology you can trust. Ware Manufacturing has been building quality hutches since 1983. Ware manufactures modern chicken hutches, barns, pens, and nest boxes designed especially for the backyard flock. Ware offers hutches and pens for every yard size and every chicken keeper's budget. Visit their website at waremfginc.com. That's waremfginc.com. Or call them to find a retailer near you at 1-888-824-7257. Ware Manufacturing.
And you can find Ware Manufacturing products here.
Critter-Cages.com is your one-stop shop for all your critters' housing needs. They stock a wide selection of supplies and equipment for rabbits, guinea pigs, hamsters, mice, rats, ferrets, chinchillas, chickens, and other small critters. Their chicken selection includes chicken barns, chicken coops, and chicken yards from top manufacturers. Your critters will love their selection of quality products, and you'll love their low prices. Visit them online at critter-cages.com. That's critter-cages.com.
Pictures of chickens on aprons are common across America, but picture a chicken wearing an apron and you'll probably get a good chuckle. Laugh if you must, but nothing protects hens better than the Hen Saver Hen Apron. Hen Saver Hen Aprons protect your hens from the damage caused by an overly affectionate rooster and may even provide protection from an unexpected hawk attack. Hen Savers come in several different sizes to fit both bantam and standard-sized hens and roosters. Colors include camo, denim, navy, brown, khaki or black, and soon pink. Crazy K Farm is expanding its already colorful Hen Saver collection to include the color pink. A portion of their sales will be donated to organizations that fund breast cancer research and awareness. Order your Hen Saver aprons today at hensaver.com. That's hensaver.com.
If you're looking for a unique gift idea for that dog, cat, horse, or chicken lover, then look no further than HobbyHillFarm.com. They have a wide selection of gifts for both the home and farm. My favorite is the chicken noodle soup with noodles shaped like chickens. I'm sure you'll find everything you're looking for at HobbyHillFarm.com. That's HobbyHillFarm.com.
Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at mounthealthy.com. That's mthealthy.com, or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks.
This looks like a job for
Super Chicken.
You get the super sauce. I'll don my super suit.
Alrighty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, where we've given away more chicken coops than anybody on the planet, and we've given away more chicken prizes than anybody on the planet. And this is your one-stop place for all the experts in their field, from backyard poultry, show poultry, urban farming, urban gardening, minimalist lifestyle, which you were talking about today, and preparedness, and anything else that might tickle your fancy. We're talking today with Andrew Odom, founder of TinyRevolution.us. Him and his wife are living the minimalist lifestyle. So we have some, right now he's taking some questions. So if you have any questions in the chat, I got no questions, Red Hawk, unless you post them in the chat room. I got no instant message or anything. So hopefully you can put them or private message them to Andrew. But we are all back. Pat, you are back live. Andrew, you are back live on the air. And let's go ahead with some questions that may have been in the chat room.
Absolutely. So let me first correct you. The tiny house is actually only 8 foot by 30 foot, and that is the outermost perimeter. By the time we get done building, it will be about 7 foot 7 by about 29 foot, about 29 foot 8. So that's about the total size of that. But it does have a sleeping loft and a small storage loft. So that's about the size of it. Red Hawk had asked in the first question, where will the baby sleep in the tiny house? Well, we're in the bungalow now, which many of y'all have seen online in various places. Right now we're in 210 square feet, close to 220 square feet. We won't have a traditional nursery. We will have a 3-in-1, also known as a pack-and-play. that the baby will sleep in. Of course, you know, they don't need that much space for several months. She will sleep in that. We're not parents that believe in co-sleeping or anything like that, although we have researched it. It's just not what we're going to do. So she will be in a pack and play to sleep, which has a bassinet feature, that sort of thing. When we build a tiny house, as Tilly gets older, she will be moving into her own quote-unquote room, which actually will be a lot like what you see in high-end yachts in the captain's quarters. It'll be a built-in bed nook sort of thing that will have maybe a little bit of bookcasing, you know, like a stuffed animal, sling, that sort of stuff. So it'll be kind of her own little space like you would see on a tour bus or a yacht or something like that. The only reason, and Redhawk goes back and says mine slept with me, I'm not against that. I'm just a big guy, if I squish my wife, I can only imagine what I would do to a little baby. So for the protection of my child, we'll probably have some other options. Thank you, Redhawk. I like the nook idea, too. It wasn't my original one. I saw it on Willie Nelson's bus, and I wanted one as an adult. My wife wouldn't have it, so I'm going to give it to my kid instead. As far as any products, I talk a lot about products on Tiny Revolution, ones that we like, ones that we don't like, ones we've used, ones we haven't used, ones we intend to use, as well as some how-tos. And pretty exciting also this month, I didn't tell y'all, I was asked there's a blog called tinyhouseblog.com, and I will be posting there every other week a series of how-tos, which is a construction series, actual building of a tiny house. So you'll be able to see a lot of different products there. But if there's any specific ones, please, any of y'all, feel free to find me on Facebook, facebook.com/anotherkindofdrew, or on Twitter, which is twitter.com/AndrewOdom, O-D-O-M, and I'll be happy to answer any individual questions about products. But essentially, a tiny house, you start with a trailer, and you build from there. You literally build a house within the confines of a metal trailer. One of the other questions was what to use to build with. I saw that one from Redhawk. That's kind of it. What to use to build with, that kind of answers it. We're going to be building a sticks and bricks sort of house. We'll be using stick framing. All of our products will be sustainable, i.e. eco-friendly. Albeit the price will be a little bit more. We do want to keep our toxins down as well as our carbon footprint. And we also intend to recycle. Like our flooring is beautiful yellow pine that we harvested here from a 102-year-old barn that we ripped down. So we will be using some recycled products as well.
Wow. I have a question for you, Andrew. When we used to build tiny houses, mainly on foundations, but we would frame in a window or a door that could be added onto them easily later. And your house is so tiny. Did you have any future expansion plans that you had framed in to go larger if you wanted to?
Sure. I mean, when the occupation comes of America and the government overthrows all of us people, I'm going to buy a large warehouse bunker and just drive tiny house into it. And then we'll have all the room we need. No, really.
Nice.
We have thought about it. You know, a lot of tiny houses you see online, they have one door on the short side of the trailer. When I release our blueprint, which I haven't released our blueprint yet, because if I do that, why would anybody want to read about my process? They can just see the final result. So when I release my blueprint, you'll see that I've put a door on both long sides, a front entry and a rear entry, if you will. The rear entry door will be cased so that we can simply pull the door out, build a small hallway that would then lead into... let's say, as we're calling it, what will one day probably be a quote-unquote master bedroom, so that we can give Tilly the loft and convert that nook space as she gets older and outgrows it.
Uh-huh. Very good. Very good.
So, yes,
wow.
we have thought long and hard about expansion opportunities. And, you know, the thing to remember is we're like every other, you know, family that's out there. If our family outgrows the space, we'll do something else. We'll find something else,
yeah.
You know. Part of it being mobile is that we can just tote it off our land, either sell it, give it to someone who's in need of a house, something like that, and build something else, you know. It's not going to be a make or break scenario for the quality of our life. It's a house.
Absolutely. Well, you know, we were talking to two families. They wanted a little family compound type of place, and they were going to build two tiny houses and then put a big deck in between as like a common area with a pergola over it. And I thought that was a pretty neat idea. So they still had their separate little, either two, you could even do three or four if you wanted to do sort of a tiny house or quattro kind of thing. But they wanted to have that in a central area that was just an open deck for, as a place kind of to lounge around. So that's another way you could expand it without
it. Us doing something like that, having several walkways that lead into a couple of smaller buildings. Like one would be our greenhouse, one would be, she called it the master bathroom. She really just wants an area where she could have a wood-fired hot tub inside of like some rocks or something like that. So, you know, as life goes on, we may find those options available to us, and we'll certainly explore them. But it's a very cool idea, and when you're only limited by your imagination and your motivation, you can do so many things.
Right. I've got a little tiny house now that substitutes as a sauna. It's really a sauna, but when we need an extra little bedroom, the bench there is big enough as for a three-quarter size mattress, so we just chuck them out there.
Nice.
That works really well.
Red Hawk said also, I'm not sure. I just want it sturdy and not to fall off the trailer. Totally understood. Part of tiny house is not just building a house on top of a trailer. You actually have a system of straps and like a mobile home, a series of tie downs, as well as very sturdy fabricated bolts that go up from the underside of the trailer into the joist system of the house. Once we get the house on the pad that we're building for, which is a concrete pad, then we'll use a series of strap downs and tie downs, which you may have seen on a post on Farmer's Almanac last week, which I talked about how to strap down your tiny house. So I can totally understand that. Nobody wants to go riding down the road and their house just not make the stop when they're trailing in. So we definitely will have one that is firmly secured.
Excellent. Yeah. And what's interesting, too, is if you want to take it off the trailer, which we ran into this one, Andrew, some people wanted to take it off the trailer so they could get the proper permits for their area that were zoned. And so they just had to unbolt it and then put a reinforcing frame around it and then lift it up with a crane and set it on their permanent foundation.
I don't think that would be an issue at all, provided you know you can get a crane in there to do it. If I were going to go that route and we were to need something that were a little bit bigger or that were going to sustain what we needed a little bit better, I think at this point we would probably move tiny house off of that plot of land and build a small cabin, small cottage home sort of thing. Just because by the time I could unbolt it, get a crane to come, lift it off, all that sort of stuff, I could use that money just to rebuild, you know, a $25,000 or $30,000 small cabin and still be within a good budget. So that's probably what we would do.
Yeah. Excellent.
Yeah.
Of course,
so,
you can always sell it, too. I mean, there's a growing market for tiny houses for so many reasons. So you can make a profit off of it and use that money to build another one.
Exactly. Yes. And I think, you know, one of the important things to remember, too, is it is unconventional housing. So anyone that goes into it, you cannot, even assume that you're going to be able to get standard homeowner's insurance or something like that.
No, you can't.
If you go into a cash-only
bill, I can tell you that right up front.
Yeah, something could happen and you know, to it one day, and then you're just out your investment, and you have to start from scratch. But, you know,
right.
that's one of the things that stopped us
and made us close the company was because it was on a trailer, people could only get, at best, five-year financing. And
exactly.
That stopped most folks right in their tracks. And then also because it was on a trailer, it couldn't really be placed on some lots because it was too small under the code to be considered as housing. So they were illegal that way as well. They got us both ways.
There's a lot of legal work that still has to be done for municipalities to really accept what's going on in the tiny house movement, because they're not going to allow a nation of people to move into things like tiny houses if there is no tax revenue being generated from it. And
we really have to face that fact.
And, you know, it's one of those things that you just say, okay, am I willing to accept that, or is that a make or break scenario? And for us, we're willing to accept it. It's not, you know, it's not something that is ideal by any means, but we're willing to accept it and we're working around it. And that's what Tiny Revolution is all about. And our blog and being on this show and guest posting for others and stuff is really just educating people about, you don't have to fall for the same traps we've fallen for so many years. You don't need a $200,000 house that, you know, is too big for your family just because that's an outward sign of success. Create your own sign of success, no matter what the price tag attached is.
Absolutely, and we got about 60 seconds left. You talk about that. It's amazing. You talk about a big $200,000 house, and that's not going to get you but like a two-bedroom, one-bath here in Johns Creek because of the area and the doggone, the whatever reasonings they have.
Yeah,
you know, location, location, location.
The market right now. I probably would not know what the market has.
Exactly. Well, Andrew, thank you very much for joining us today. If you like what you heard, join us the third Tuesday of every month with Andrew Odom, Tiny Revolution. We've only got 34 seconds left, so Pat, take it away.
Okay, great. Well, I love talking about tiny houses. Thank you, Andrew. Andrew, and of course, Andy Schneider, thank you for bringing us all together. Where would we be without you and the poultry poultry underground? Blessings to all. We love all you poultry pioneers so much. And may the flock be with you evermore. God bless everybody.